Your life is headed for a wreck on the rocks, far worse than you can imagine. Harsh punishments await a short and sinful life. For sins you have committed, take care and go to Him. Don't be distracted, no matter who says, go elsewhere. On Janmashtami, I also went and stayed all day. He read his Gita. It was hard to stay, since we knew so little how to spend our time in a Krishna-conscious way. When we became weak from fasting, we took fruit from his refrigerator. I stayed all day as he desired, but then at night I thought, all right, let me go home and type for the Swami. Walking the slum blocks to my room, watching factory smoke rise above the city, past billboards for Mustang Fords, past playground fences, I was already, by his mercy, free of it all. Yet I thought, not yet am I ready. I should keep my sovereign whimsy, as I have kept it all these years. Even when imprisoned on the Navy ship, I was alone and free to myself. My speculation, my whimsy writings, my whimsy right to sense gratification, let me wait. Because to become a disciple, I must be completely serious. I will hold out for more affection until he plucks me out of the gutter from this whimsy and reluctance. I cannot say yes. The next day, Prabhupada set me right. Firm-handed, he looked at me, saying, I will love you if you will love me. From then, it was only a matter of time. I was convinced not to miss the second initiation. Preaching in the psychedelic West. Prabhupada blasted the LSD myth that Krishna had come in the form of a pill. True sages had never indulged in acid, but had reached perfection by the natural way. The boys felt credit was due to the drug for opening new doors of perception. But Swami said no. The daring to search was a credit, but to take drugs for yoga was the greatest mistake, like mixing sex with yoga. He blasted the myth and got challenged by followers of Leary who came to the kirtan, demanding, but you have not taken, so how do you know? My disciples have taken, the Swami replied, and given it up. The whole East Side mystique was built on drugs, but Prabhupada pierced through the marijuana fog. Hallucinations, he said. Krishna can be known in his name, but without his pure service, it is all a bad dream. Take Krishna or Maya, the name or the drugs, but together is crazy and cannot be bhakti. Be happy in kirtan, the transcendental high. So he preached to the psychedelic West. Swami's flock chants in park to find ecstasy. Bring out the old Persian rug, carry it through the crowded streets, past taunters of Prabhupada and his boys. Carry the old rug rolled, one man at the front, one at the back, up Second Avenue, then east to the park, past stares and yells. A timid devotee grows brave with him. He is with Krishna, and they are with him. Carry it into the park along with the bongo and cartels. Set it down and unroll it on the asphalt for sitting and dancing in kirtan. Grasping the strap of the two-tone bongo, its skin held tightened by metal studs, Prabhupada's deft fingers would play, bouncing and muted beats in the center and on the rim. He knew how to play so that it sounded like a two-headed coal. His chanting attracted. A quick dozen came, then 20, 100, joining his boys in chorus at the People's Park. To choose to attend to the Lower East Side, what kindness and humility and intelligence! As a voice together, he and his followers sang, but his voice and presence made it happen. His boys were a newly formed group, not thoroughly convinced, not yet a team. Among themselves they had little, except they were with him, their saving grace. Dressed niggardly like others in the park, yet somehow out of millions they were his. That was simply his grace, that they were beside him, sitting closely on the rug. The Sunday park was popping up with people. on the walks and benches and patches of green. So when Swamiji began his chant, plenty were there to hear. A whole parkful attended his kirtan. You took your boys and mixed with the people. What their lives were didn't faze you, because now they were chanting the holy name. I can't imagine the pleasure as felt by you and persons on the spiritual planets to see that dirty speck on earth in New York City, itself a speck in the smallest universe. You saw them breaking their chains. Direct contact with Lord Krishna, very difficult to obtain, now streamed out freely from your singing. What you did that afternoon was only a start. Yet whatever great thing devotees may do today is inspired by your chanting in Tompkins Square Park. Your intimate act of redemption lives on. The singing continues because of you. Were you to have not chanted, the world would have ended. A world with love means love of God in the heart of his devotee who leads the people. As you stood before the oak tree and spoke to the common people on public ground, hippies found it mellow. Local poets and musicians celebrated for the moment. Rowdies and hoodlums were held at bay, and a few were struck with the serious thought to surrender. That afternoon is not recorded in American or world history books, although it was the perfect act to save the country and the world from ruin. But the day lives forever as fulfillment of Scripture, that every town and village shall chant, and even meat-eaters shall take part in Harinam, the highest service to God and humans. A poem on chanting, approved for publication by Prabhupada in 1966. When we were chanting Hare Krishna and the light of the sky was going in and out, my pleasure was so great I was afraid lest I be swept to Indra's heaven, and there given a chariot ride down the length of the rainbow. Whereas here on earth, standing on Houston Street, I can chant the holy name of Krishna, and he is with me, kindly dancing on my tongue, he who is the source of everything. Displeased. I cannot change the philosophy to please the Americans. Bruce's mother, Chuck's mother, my mother, the Fugs, the lawyer in defense of illicit sex, and upstairs tenant, these were not pleased. Bruce's mother was all right, but when they told her about Krishna consciousness, she thought her sons had gone crazy. Who is crazy? Prabhupada replied. Are we or they? Take it to the platform of reason. One who lives for the temporary body is doomed at death to lose all that he works for. Is not he crazy? We live to serve eternal Krishna in this world and the next. What is wrong with that? Who is crazy? She admitted the new good qualities in her sons, social and human improvements, and no more drugs, but shaved heads? At the second initiation, when Bruce became Brahmananda Das, Mrs. Scharf attended and Prabhupada told her son, "Bow down before your mother." She was sitting on a metal folding chair, and it was awkward, yet she liked it. But when Prabhupada asked for a donation, she exploded. "What? I have already given you two sons." Swamiji said, because Krishna said, sex should be used as religious only to deliver and raise a Krishna-conscious child, or else it is fornication like a pig, with next life's karma in the body of a pig. This displeased many, even the liberal who otherwise liked the enchanting chanters. And Prabhupada had written in his book, pornography should be censored. A disciple asked, "Can this be edited out? Because what will the American people think?" "I cannot change the philosophy," said Prabhupada, "to please the Americans. Proud Americans may think their missiles and dollars can save them from suffering and death, whereas an Indian's philosophy is weird. But down they go, one by one, bowing to old age, disease, and death. And their nation cannot save them, and their highways cannot save them, nor their mild and hard drugs, their uppers and downers, nor can their emancipation set them free. Is it really weird or wrong to ask people to have sex like humans, as taught by every scripture of the world? Who is crazy?" Judson Hall inquiry. At Judson Hall, the problem was we didn't advertise, and yet we paraded with a bass drum past Carnegie Hall to Times Square and back in time for the scheduled lecture. Or was the mistake that we charged no admission? Swamiji stressed the latter. But had it been a free, naked show, I think we would have packed the house. The problem was the same as what he'd found in Delhi. No time to inquire about the self. But Swamiji held kirtan, and we wildly danced around the stage in yellow dhotis, shaven-headed, wearing Vaishnav tilak just like him. After Swamiji's lecture, a man in the empty hall inquired, "Is this for helping the wayward and underprivileged?" "No," Swamiji replied, "everyone is lost. Everyone is destitute, because we have forgotten Krishna." He went on to smash the notion that Krishna was for failures, or that one could be successful without him. Maybe it was our reputation as Hare Krishna from the Lower East Side, or maybe that man was snobbish, or maybe in another sense he had been right. Although our parents had money, and most of us had been through college, we had no hope of happiness in the material world. We no longer sought progress in wealth, education, beautiful body, or good birth. We had found that inkling of truth made starker by the failures of our elders and guides. But we had opted for nothingness until the Swami had picked us up. We may have looked like dropouts to the casual observer, and so we had been. But now we were becoming as ambitious as the Karmis, in fact more eager than they, and bright-faced in our newfound transcendental work. As our defender, Swamiji, explained, the real success of life is not to wear nice clothes, although you do not know your existence beyond the body. These boys chanting Hare Krishna are the most fortunate, he said, and their future is brilliant because they have accepted Krishna. Why don't you try it? You don't have to change your dress or way of life, but chant with us. But if you think, I can be successful without inquiring into the Absolute, then your life will be all useless. After Judson Hall meeting, when we apologized that so few had come, Prabhupada replied, "You did not see Narada? You did not see Lord Brahma? When there is chanting of Hare Krishna, even the demigods come to participate." For myself, I say, I did not see Narada, did not see Lord Brahma, but you I saw, and my spiritual senses were fully satisfied. Just because the hall had seemed empty, I do not doubt that the demigods came to see you chant. But even I could see with my eyes and feeble brain your confidence, your entirely transcendental self, and your fatherly defense of your disciples through the universal truth of Krishna consciousness. Unique mercy. You knew it was deep mystic attraction to cook for Krishna and give out the prasadam, and you were expert. The crew liked your kicharya on board the Jaladuta, and when Sally Agarwal saw your lunch cooked magically in her kitchen on your triple-tiered brass cooker, that wonderful paraphernalia you never tired of praising, and which actually did perform a miracle in cookery, making rice, three or four different vegetables, as well as dal, all within 45 minutes, on a single flame under your nimble hands, by your quick instinctive intelligence. When Sally saw it, she wanted one for her husband, who had been gulping dry sandwiches until you came. From your very first days in Manhattan, you envisioned the exciting prospects of food distribution, writing to Mrs. Morarji, "When they will have the actual commodity and feel pleasure by eating very delicious prasadam of Balakrishna, I am sure a unique thing will be introduced to America." Even your simple cutting of an apple and giving it out at night in the storefront was something extraordinary to those sitting on the floor, hearing, chanting, and then taking an apple slice from you in silence, watching you spit out the seeds onto the nearby sink. How wonderful, they thought. No one else can do that. At noon, you gathered a dozen young men who came without fail, even if they could not follow the regulations. No one missed the prasadam or was unenthusiastic. Was it ordinary rice, just some unleavened bread? But weren't rice and bread available in the luncheonettes? And who had even thought of rice as special until you brought it as prasadam? It wasn't just rice. It was the way you served it, and the prayers, and having the open pots on the floor in front of the little picture of Lord Chaitanya, and the fact that you were there cooking, or at least presiding, moving on bare feet in and out of the kitchen. You were openly stressing prasadam by quoting the Bhagavad Gita, and your followers also accepted that food became completely spiritual when offered to Krishna in bhakti yoga. All right, we said, this is Bhagavat Prasad. We had known soups, but not hot, spicy dal. We knew peas, carrots, etc., but not your special mixtures of spinach, cauliflower, eggplant, and potatoes, and the secrets of masala spicing, the luxury of deep frying in ghee, made food new, healthy, hot, and delicious, and all brought by you. It was not bread he gave me. He gave me prasadam. This was life, and he saved my life. ISKCON Bullets. It was very easy to reach into the large covered bowl. You left it in the outer room, preventing us from cigarettes and worse. We saw your leniency as you smiled. You did it so we could remain Krishna conscious. Because of all the senses, the tongue is the most difficult to control. But why did you name them after killers? You said that they were our best weapon against Maya. We laughed, ourselves victims of the golden balls. You came alone, but now. But now you are not alone. Your boys went out on their own to the Love Pageant Rally, a hippie protest meeting, and while the crowd was milling aimlessly, started Hare Krishna chanting in the same park where you had led them personally. Now on your order, among their peers they chanted, with your drum, cartels, and a tambourine of soda caps. The love pageant flared up in devotional chanting, and the village voice reported, the backbone of the meeting was the mantras, holy chants from the Sanskrit Bhagavad Gita, and for 3 hours it became like a boat on a sea of rhythmic chanting, led by 15 disciples of Bhaktivedanta Swami, who operates from a storefront on Second Avenue. The mantras ebbed and flowed with the rhythm of drums. They ran, ecstatic, to tell you, Swamiji, it was fantastic, as if to say, we did what you told us and it worked. We ourselves are amazed, and our faith increased 100 times to go out and spread this everywhere. Do it, you said. Go everywhere and chant and save your people. The American revival of Back to Godhead was also accomplished by your men. And no longer were you alone, writing that Krishna is supreme. I am an old man, you said, but you are young. Learn it and do it. How to play drum, how to sing and cook. Be without sense gratification and chant 16 rounds daily without fail. And one day you can each go and open a center just as I have done. In Russia, in China, who will go? Brahmananda, will you go to Russia? At first it seemed too much, a joke by Swamiji. But maybe we could do it, if that was what he wanted. You were no longer alone, as a mother with young children is not alone. It was more burden to have us. Years later, you even said, when I was all alone in New York, it was very nice, no one to depend on but Krishna. But you wanted this burden, the growing up youngsters, readying to go out, to turn protests into chant-ins, to turn the world into devotees, when empowered by you. Swamiji. Now we know the name Swamiji is a third-class address used for any Swami, no more respectable than Mr. But somehow it was dear to us then because it was you and all we knew. Swamiji meant you, the dear preceptor, guru, lord and master, the expert teacher to whom we surrendered. Swamiji, eternal spiritual guide, solver of immediate daily problems like what to do about roaches and how to answer the challenge, you're all escapists. It was Swamiji who had to deal with the landlord, Mr. Chudi, when all our efforts failed. He liked you, but not us. On getting a curt note from a writer who lived upstairs, who said his musical and cooking tastes did not run into Indian, and so we should please desist from loudly singing mantras and cooking with ghee, it was Swamiji who asked him to come down and who calmed him with a discourse beyond designations. We knew that Swamiji was alone in his apartment, writing, and that sometimes he rested, but even at those times we could see him, through the window in his room. He lived in our view and was always ready to help, as long as we were serious and not a waste of time. Who can say now how much of his time was wasted on us? But he gave it unstintingly. Swamiji, soft as a rose, he continued to receive the eccentric Robert Nelson, joking with him like an old friend. How are you, Mr. Bob? Although the man was clearly not in order. Swamiji, hard as a thunderbolt, he chased Raphael away from the door because he had punched a devotee, carried marijuana, and posed a threat to Swamiji's movement. Swamiji means Srila Prabhupada in his first temple, 1966. Just as regal as he ever would be, although without a car, wearing an unpressed cuddy dhoti and an inexpensive jersey with a stretched turtleneck. We knew he was as good as God and bowed to him, but lacked the means and knowledge to rightly serve and worship. He was the same person as he was later, but with little money and few men. His plans were ambitious, but he was at the beginning. The mixture of this grave, refined dignity and the little world he created out of a small storefront and two upstairs rooms, where he handled all the petty cash and cooked the sweets and sat alone with whoever asked, out of a ragtag group of boys and one girl, is very special and dear to recall. Swamiji, I too have been to other places, seen you and been with you on later fields, when there was bigger work to do, and I have taken on new services, new names, but I always return to you in the first days, because that is the way it will always be. Srila Prabhupada, you often recalled the beginning and said, those were happy days, when you would look out your kitchen window, the weedy tenement garden below, the rush and noise of the traffic on First Street, and you would be full of hope throughout your years of travel and fabulous growth of success, after opening multi-million dollar temples, writing and publishing 60 books, and taking thousands of disciples, still you often said those were happy days. Remembering them one by one as if they were before you, you spoke about your preaching at 26 Second Avenue, even in your very last days in Vrindavan. They were happy days for you and also for us, the boys you lifted up. They were happy days for the whole world when you began your preaching on Second Avenue, your first place in America, where you chanted in Tompkins Square Park and stood before the oak tree. Then, one winter day in 66, you shocked us. Now I will go to the next place, you said, to San Francisco. Take care of everything here. Keep up the classes and the love feasts. Go out with magazines and kirtan. Everything should be maintained in my absence. And then you left in January 1967. And then you left in November 1977. And now we are living on your orders. A last question and answers. Prabhupada, if in those days you were externally so meagerly equipped and the Krishna consciousness movement had barely begun, Then why do we recall it as so important? Is this merely nostalgia? The answer is no. It is not mere nostalgia. Is remembrance of Krishna material sentiment? No. Lord Krishna himself declares, the pure devotee's life is as good as the eternal pastimes of Krishna. Prabhupada, when you were Swamiji, you could not enact many of your far-reaching plans because your instruments, the disciples, were too few, and they were just learning how to be humans. There were few published books and no temples, except for one meager storefront. Yet we think of you in those early days so fondly because we clearly see you entirely depending upon Guru and Krishna. Even a neophyte is moved to know how you suffered heart attacks for our sake while crossing the ocean on the Jaladuta. Seeing you alone, carrying forward the worldwide movement on your shoulders, naturally we are more and more drawn to you. Lord Rama worked with brave, noble monkeys, but you worked with Lower East Side's uncivilized men, and to think of you that way endears us to you more and more. As Lord Krishna went to Dwarka to enact his later pastimes, and yet his simple childhood pastimes are the dearest, so you and we like to remember the earliest days of ISKCON, when the Krishna consciousness movement was only a playful, charming, seemingly helpless child. It was not an ordinary child, and now we know it more and more. As ISKCON grows, covering and benefiting all the earth, yet we continue to recall those childhood days. Remembering your willingness to work under such rude beginnings, your positive joyfulness, while physically carrying forth the entire ISKCON, we are drawn to you more and more. You did not look down upon the situation as unbearable when stinking bums barged into your temple, or when LSD freaks visited your room to claim that they were God, or when the upstairs tenant poured water through your ceiling. You accepted all these as Krishna's mercy, the opportunity to preach in New York City. Later, one of your godbrothers said he also could have succeeded in America, but he did not have a temperament inclined to low-class men, being himself very high-class and inclined towards scholars. But that you agreed to work with us is not due to your inclination towards Lower East Side youth. It is your endearing compassion, your dedication to the order of your Guru Maharaj, your complete faith in the power of the Holy Name. And when we recall this, we are amazed. Remembering you on the Bowery and on the Lower East Side, all devotees are inspired to go on and do the same, giving their association to whoever shows a spark, whether in China, East Europe, or New York City today. Just as the sun is always illuminating the universe, your 26 Second Avenue days will always illumine the preachers throughout the world of ISKCON.
Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitam Shtam. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurabha Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Daita Dadadha Sivashati Gaurabha Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Daita Dadadha Sivashati Gaurabha Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Thank you.